Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Gee Thanks Just Bought It. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. And before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that on your phone, on the Instagram app, you can go and follow this podcast. It's Gee Thanks Just Bought It Pod. And we talk about all the stuff that we talk about on the show, but also more stuff. So if you need another thing or person or account to follow on Instagram, consider following this podcast. You can ask for recommendations on products and we'll crowdsource them to other followers. It's actually kind of cool and people meet each other that way. I don't know. Community is forming. Follow us there, Instagram.com/gthanksjustboughtitpod. I am excited because Shannon Keating is joining us today. Shannon is a senior culture writer and editor at BuzzFeed, and she also writes a new newsletter about intentional shopping called You Have Nearly Everything You Need, which you can subscribe to by going to shannonkeating.substack.com. Shannon, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Caroline. Thank you for having me.
I mean, of course. I'm really happy to have you here,
I'm so excited.
Because of your, I mean, I love you in general, but I'm also so excited about your new newsletter.
Yeah, thank you. I am also excited about it. I feel like it's nice to have like a creative outlet, as I'm sure you feel.
Yeah, that isn't
the pod.
Work.
That isn't work. Yeah, that was what I really wanted to do this year.
And I mean, you really went. You did your first installment. It's really new.
It's very new.
Okay,
just started a couple weeks ago, and I'm about to send a new one out this week.
So I know what you guys are thinking. It's kind of crazy. This is a shopping podcast, and now we're talking about kind of more intentional shopping or not shopping. But I'm very into the idea of intentional shopping. I all of my shopping is intentional, just a lot of shopping. But tell me a little bit about how you kind of came to writing about this and like, yeah, tell me a little bit about your story with like spending money and buying things. And
yeah, for sure. So I think I was inspired to start doing something like this because ever since, like last year, I feel like I had just kind of a chaotic, like both personal and professional year. And I think like, I mean, like I love buying things.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
Right.
But I do think I was going a little bit overboard.
Were you trying to like fill a void?
I think trying to fill a void. I don't know. But then, I mean, there were some more practical reasons.
Sure.
Like, you know, like I'd gained some weight. So like needed like
stuff that fits.
Stuff to fit.
Yeah.
And like was doing the thing where I'm like, oh, well, maybe, you know, like kind of holding on to stuff where it's like,
right,
maybe I'll fit in. Like, no.
No,
never. Time to just move on.
Just buy. It's kind of amazing. Isn't it kind of amazing when you just buy pants that fit?
Yeah. So I was trying to balance the idea of like, okay, like you are allowed to get stuff that fits you
mm-hmm.
and that makes you feel good.
Yes.
But I did want to start getting a little bit more intentional about it. Not only just like in terms of my personal spending, but also like just ethics wise. Like I had been trying for a long time to cut out fast fashion and just failing entirely. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm, one of the other things that I'm trying to do this year.
Yeah.
And just buy things that I really love. I mean, I guess that's like a very
basic
summary of intentional shopping, but yeah, that I love and that'll last. And I think it, you know, in a way that serves multiple purposes at once, because if like I love like vintage stuff and secondhand and not only is that, you know, a little bit cheaper and better for the earth, but it's, you know, pieces that like
not everybody's gonna
be wearing. That not everyone has. So,
and you were in the fashion bitch Slack.
I was in the fashion bitch Slack.
When Shan and I worked together at BuzzFeed, we were in a Slack called Fashion Bitch, where it was just kind of, I don't know, like a dozen women at BuzzFeed talking about the things they had purchased or sort of crowdsourcing ideas of where they could get something. And there was always something that would come up, like one dress at Zara that we were seeing everywhere last spring. And then I think at one point, like half of the group went to Zara at different times and different Zaras and took pictures and be like, oh, doesn't work for me. Like, doesn't work for me.
So I didn't even try that dress.
I didn't even.
I was like,
either.
That's not going to work.
No, you and I, like body type wise, like, we're curvier.
Yeah.
We have boob. This was like one of those bag dresses.
Yes.
That's
and
like
I can like I like
I
a sack.
I love a bag.
Yeah, like I like a sack.
But that one wasn't gonna work for me.
No,
I knew
me
it. And I did try it and I was cracked. I was like, ah, I don't think I even took a picture. I was like, let's no.
Yeah, yeah.
But would you consider, so Zara is definitely fast fashion. Mm-hmm. Forever 21, H&M.
Yeah.
What do you think about like a Madewell, a Gap, a
so
Banana
that's,
Republic?
I mean, definitely I think the two hardest things for me would be like Madewell and COS.
COS,
which
I think.
Which is
COS isn't fast fashion. That's really expensive.
I know. I mean, that's what you would think, but it's by H&M. You know, it's just like,
I didn't know that.
I know. I didn't know that either until recently, but it's basically like fancier H&M.
Okay.
So it's tough. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. But I do think that like I have spent over the past year kind of getting like a good base of those things and basics. And I'm going to try not to go to those places. It is good. Yeah. It's and I don't mean to be like, you know, like
anti.
Yeah. Or like preachy.
Well,
about
no,
it,
I will say that I don't shop at H&M and Forever 21 and it is not ethical. They never have anything that fits me.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's
like
true,
I'm a 12, 14, 16, depending on where I go or what I'm buying. And like there are tons of trends. I'm not, you know, as I grow older, and you're a little younger than me, but as I grow older, I feel like I'm less into trends. Like, I've said this a million times. Like, I have a thing that I like. I buy, a million of it, and then we just go forward. But there are tons of times where I'm like, I would love, like, you know, a fake leopard fur jacket that costs $29.99 because I'm going to wear it probably twice.
Yeah.
But they don't have it in my size. So I can pretend that I'm not shopping fast fashion for, like, an ethical reason, but mostly it's because they just don't make my size.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I know that you're also a Madewell fan.
I
especially
love
jean
Madewell,
wise.
And jeans are so good.
I know.
And I'm an Old Navy person.
Yeah, I have heard great things
Old
about
Old Navy's the best.
Old Navy jeans.
The best. I'm wearing them right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're going to actually, I think yours will air before hers. I'll figure it out. But Tazi's coming on.
To talk about Old Navy jeans?
We're going to have a whole jeans episode.
Oh,
just
that's
like
amazing.
Finding jeans. Jeans are hard, and everyone knows like when you find a pair that fits.
Yes.
Also, they'll change them. Like, this will be another episode, but they'll change. You're like, oh, I bought the high-waisted like jeans with the blah, 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 and then you buy the same pair like 3 weeks later, and it's like not the same pair of jeans.
So frustrating.
So when I find a pair of jeans that I love or a store that's the way that they cut their jeans works on me, I kind of buy a lot. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's Old Navy and Madewell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why I haven't done a ton of, like, expensive, I know, is Everlane's not fast fashion. That's their whole thing.
No, Everlane is totally good. I have not been able to find jeans that work for me,
though. Neither, no.
I feel like so many people are obsessed.
Me too. I need a little stretch in my pants.
Yeah,
you and I talked about this, like, the last time we wore, like, just 100% denim.
Like,
never.
It's
third grade.
It's, like, still, it's, like, a dream of mine to be able to wear 100% denim.
Too. Every time I tried, a Levi's wedgie, I'm like, nope, stop.
Not even going over,
but,
not even
right.
going over the
not
thighs.
Even
going
to try.
I heard from a friend, though, the last time I talked about this, that she, and she's also, like, quite curvy, and she tailors her jeans.
I asked about this on Instagram, and a lot of people were like, yeah, you can tailor anything. And
I know,
like,
which I guess is obvious, but to me, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Tailoring jeans?
I feel like the way that I... Yeah, no, it sounds crazy. Where would you have to tailor your jeans?
I mean, I guess I would have to get, like, a truly ginormous pair
and then
take
them
it in
the waist.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a small waist. I have bigger thighs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my
so
thighs are also...
It's very hard. They're out of... Mine are out of proportion. I mean, like, what is proportion?
Yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
But, like...
No real proportion.
In the mainstream way that jeans are created, my body, unfortunately, for my psyche, doesn't fit into many of them. And either I'm, like, either they fit so well in the legs, and then I'm constantly pulling them up, or... They fit in the waist and the butt, but then my calves are like compressed. But yeah, I mean,
I feel that.
That's hard. But that's kind of where that I get very jealous of women who run more in the sample size, because when mm-hmm. you're shopping secondhand, it's so much easier, especially with vintage clothing. It's so much easier when you're like on the smaller side to find stuff.
Totally.
So yeah. I can't feel, I really try not to get mad at myself for buying stuff at Old Navy, because I'm like, well, it fits and I feel good in it and I can't.
Yeah, no, I completely feel that. And I, most of my jeans, I think, are made well. And you know, like if I change sizes again or can't find anything, you know, like I'll go back. Like, I don't think it's like, I think I'm just trying to think about it a little more and not do the, you know, I think I was very much in the habit of doing that, just kind of like one gigantic order off the sale and then like returning a bunch of, and you know, like
me
I don't
too.
Need, yeah, like I'm, so I'm trying to do less of that.
Right.
But like if I specifically need a pair of jeans, you know, mm-hmm. I can go and get a pair of jeans. Like,
I think, yeah, I'm with you.
I have never found a pair of like vintage or secondhand pants that has fit me ever in my life. So.
No one in history has ever looked like me, and they were not wearing pants if they did. So I don't know. No, it's hard, but there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, it brings up the whole size inclusivity conversation mm-hmm. and that, you know, I get it that they say that, you know, bigger sizes are more expensive to make or whatever, but you're also kind of like, it doesn't really, like, what, to the pennies?
Yeah, like,
it's
no.
not, it's not really that kind of a thing. And I don't know. I mean, I just say buy clothes that fit, that you feel comfortable, that mm-hmm. you feel that fit you. It doesn't matter what the size or the number is.
Yeah,
but
totally.
In terms of being a more intentional shopper about stuff,
mm-hmm.
what did you, so you had a big year.
I had a big year.
You kind of made a lot of life changes.
I did.
So Shannon, you might have read this, but it was a really big story on BuzzFeed. The headline is that the time I went on a lesbian cruise and it blew up my entire life. Can you give us the log line of sort of what happened, if you
sure.
feel comfortable?
It's just always funny for me to hear that title, because I feel like I've heard people say like that they saw it and just thought it was like just a very like clickbaity, like, oh, you can blow up your life.
No,
and
you,
I'm like,
literally,
no,
went on a lesbian cruise and blew up your life.
I pretty much did.
So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what happened.
So I went on this lesbian cruise for an assignment at work. I was interested in reporting on like changes in lesbian culture and this group of women who have been going on cruises like this, like since the earliest one was in the 90s.
Wow.
But I both personally and professionally, it did not turn out the way that I thought it did, because
okay.
I met a woman and had a very intense experience with her on the ship, and came
you didn't
off.
Go on the cruise straight. I just want to point out, just in case
oh,
people
yes.
don't know, like
oh,
you
yeah.
were not, you weren't like a
oh,
straight
true.
Woman
no, this,
going.
Yeah, yeah, this wasn't a like, oh, like
now I'm a lesbian.
No, like what is this
right.
lesbian universe?
No,
now, no, I yeah, I went into it already gay.
Right,
left gay as well, but
still gay,
still gay. But
you met
I
a woman.
Met a woman. I got home. I broke up with my partner 5 years. I moved out of the, you know, home that we'd built together. Blew up some friendships in the process. It was all very crazy and chaotic and good and bad and hard and weird and lovely. So
like a really big year.
It was a big year.
And you're still with the woman that you met on the cruise.
Still with Lynette.
Lynette
is her name. Yes.
Yes. They're so a very attractive couple together.
Well, thanks,
can
Caroline.
Go stalk Shannon's Instagram like so many people did after they
I know,
read your
which,
story.
Which is why I like put it on private
yeah.
and then just like
I bet.
Left for a while.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a lot.
Well, it's the risk you take when you write a personal
yeah.
essay. So
yeah.
I remember kind of in the beginning of that and right after we all read your essay at work, and this was what, now 8 months ago-ish,
mm-hmm.
you had to come home, you had to move, you had to give up some furniture that you had invested
yeah.
in. Like there was a lot of the stuff in your life
yes.
was shifting. So tell me or tell us a little bit about, you know, like how you were spending your money and what you were buying and kind of like how that led into the, you know, intentional
mm-hmm.
part of like how you were going to view stuff in 2020.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was definitely like a lot. I think a lot of my spending was just purely practical. Like I had to like build a new
home.
Life and home.
Yeah.
yeah. So I moved in with some friends. I live in a lovely kind of almost kind of comical version of a lesbian commune. It's just, you know, gay ladies in Brooklyn.
Right.
But it's wonderful. But I lost a lot of my furniture. So, you know, I had to just bought like a bed that's already falling apart because I, you know.
Because you were like.
I was like, I just need a bed right now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I let myself like get a nice like duvet, like, mm-hmm. you know, especially having gone from living in like having like a whole apartment to like being back in a room again, like mm-hmm. really making that room feel like a home. I got an aromatherapy diffuser.
Do you use
that
it?
That was more recently, actually. yeah, I do, actually. I
Those
do.
Are
I
things
love it.
That I look at, like a TJ Maxx and Marshalls, and I'm like, ooh, like, yeah, I want to get like... one, but then I didn't. Then I don't get one. Do I need one? I don't think I do, but you
don't know
use
if you
yours?
Need one.
No one
I
needs
think,
anything.
Yeah, no one needs anything. I'm like a little bit afraid of candles, but like okay. like having like, sure. you know, like a nice vibe.
It's real to be afraid of candles.
Yeah. And I liked the idea of having like they have like specific like anxiety, you know.
Oh, sure. You were like all into the homeopathy.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, then I mean, if it's, my room smelling like lavender will help me sleep, like,
let's do
sure,
it.
Sure. Let's try. Is going well so far.
Is there anything that you bought that you're like, that you bought kind of like in a manic place of just trying to fix something or feel better or feel saner that you're like, I should not have bought this? Like, what was I thinking?
I think housewise, I mean, on the flip side, the good thing was that since I was moving into like a fully furnished house, otherwise I didn't need to like go crazy on
right.
any like other.
You didn't have to like
things.
Do the whole. They had kitchen stuff. And
yeah,
they had,
yeah.
Right.
So that was good. I don't know. I think I just, you know, like went into like some fugue states and bought too many shoes.
Sure,
but that
sure.
doesn't really.
Don't we all?
Yeah. It doesn't really have to do with my.
Is intentional shopping for 2020 sort of tied to like a financial goal on your end? Do you just feel like
yes,
you want to.
Okay. That is. I think that I have been like always very resistant to the idea of like really budgeting, like drawing mm-hmm. up real, like.
It
I
makes
don't know,
me
it's
really
just,
anxious to budget.
It makes me really anxious. And do I know you, that it. That's not what it's supposed to do. But
do you get anxious when, because diet culture is all around us, like, mm-hmm. I get anxious with, like, the counting. I don't
oh,
do
yeah,
it.
No,
but,
I
like,
don't
when
do
I.
Either.
But I wonder if budgeting is sort of reigniting. I always yes. think that it's reigniting something in me that's, like, being too obsessed with, like, the exact calorie count of my chicken and the exact penny amount that I spent. And it becomes this all-consuming thing that it's like the only thing I can think of, and I
wow.
wonder if I'm averse to both.
Yeah,
I talk about that in therapy sometimes.
I've never thought about that, but I was totally an obsessive teenage calorie counter.
Like,
so.
Budgets are good.
Yeah.
I don't think calorie counting is good, but I think budgets are good, but I think it's this, it leads me down the same path of it is the only thing I can think about.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know all the numbers. If
yeah.
if I spend something on my credit card and I don't immediately write it down, then like all of a sudden now I'm going to go buy more on my credit
mm-hmm.
card. It's like the like, oh, you ate a piece of cake. You might as well eat the whole cake kind of thing.
Yes.
I think about that with money also.
Yeah.
So budgeting kind of scares me. So I really like the idea that you have this goal now that you're like, so are you just like, I'm just trying not to spend a lot of money, or do you have a specific number?
I don't have a specific set goal. I might. Down the line, I think what I'm doing right now is so the what I'm planning to do with my newsletter is document every single like material object that I buy for
Ooh.
Myself. So
it's a way to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah. So not like food or events or anything.
Are
but if it's
sweating?
Like if I have a physical thing and it comes into my house, then I'll document it, which
mm-hmm.
I think generally falls into categories of like. Clothes, shoes, accessories,
yep.
skincare, makeup,
and stuff,
and yeah, and just general
Things.
Miscellaneous stuff,
mm-hmm.
and also books. I buy a lot of books.
Books are fine.
Yeah, I know. It's.
I mean, you go to the library, but you can buy a book.
I know, and
also books come to your office, and I know that.
That is true. I know. So that books do come to my office. I can go to the library. Like to a certain extent, I think buying books is great. Like I like supporting the
yes.
industry. But I also have so many books that I haven't read yet.
There's
so.
Always that meme, right? That's like me looking at a book,
yes,
all the books
like,
on my to-be-read pile.
I have a very large to-be-read pile, so
and
I need to chill probably.
So the reason why she has so many books is when you work on in a like a digital publication like BuzzFeed and you are the culture editor, every single book that comes out, that you get a galley sent to you.
Yes.
Which is magical.
It is magical.
But also so overwhelming.
Yes, because it's mostly like, you know, like, there's a lot of
Triggered
a lot
Donald
of gay
Trump
people
Jr.
who want to write their another gay memoir, and
but
all the power to them,
right? But you, how many can you read?
Yeah, how many can I read? I can't
and how many have you
many.
Read?
So many. And yeah, some of them are great.
The mailroom at BuzzFeed was always full of like Santa Claus style bags,
gigantic
of books.
Stacks.
And the best part was that if they weren't using them for stories or coverage, mm-hmm. it would go on like a free table, and we could all go book shopping.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about books too. Like, even I can always like,
there's always someone
away.
Who wants the book, right? Yeah. Or you can bring them to like Housing Works or something.
Mm-hmm. I realized I didn't answer your question though about.
No, you did.
You're right. I guess I did.
You did.
Kind of. I guess I.
You're going to document it.
I am going to document it. I'm keeping track. I have no specific number in mind, but I think what I'm hoping is that like the numbers gradually goes down.
Yeah,
just down.
What kind of questions are you asking yourself before you like spend money now?
I think like is it like I think especially for like clothes and shoes and stuff. Is this really like filling a gap in
why
my
am
closet.
I buying this?
Yeah.
Why am I going for
yeah.
this?
So both like is this
but my
really,
answer is always like yes.
I know. I'm trying to be like, is this really, really different from something I already own? And then I feel like I give a lot of points for like true uniqueness. Like real I'm trying to get more into like really unique pieces. Like
nice.
Pieces. I don't know. Like
your fashion. You're a fashion editor now. Well, my question is always like, did you already buy a version of this 2 years ago and
yes,
never wear it?
Yes.
Like, which is always the case. It's like, no, now I'm going to be into high tops, but mm-hmm. I don't like high tops. But then I always buy a pair of high tops, yeah. being like, it's time.
I don't know if it's you feel this, time. But I think also size wise for me because like. So many clothes. I don't know if they're gonna fit. I feel like I end up being like heavy on
bags, and
shoes.
Yeah, totally.
Coats. I feel like I love coats. And I'm like, how many freaking coats do I need? I
right.
need to stop. But
many
sweaters. I love a coat. I'm you know like in true lesbian fashion. I love light jacket weather. Denim.
Does it make you a lesbian to love a light
jacket?
No,
it doesn't make you
this
a
is,
lesbian.
So
to love
I
jacket.
Happen to have a lot of friends who are lesbians, and I always feel like they're like a true lesbian, like I love a notebook, and I'm like, what does that mean? And then but they all know what they're talking about, and I never know.
No, we
this
just,
is straight oppression, FYI.
We just love to appropriate regular aspects of culture
but
like, and
but
make
you
it
all,
our own.
Well, you do it really well because you're like a lesbian, I love a denim jacket. I don't know what that means.
Well, okay. There's another part of this, too, is that I think everyone is gradually dressing more and more like a lesbian.
Oh, I've been
which is also I think just means generally like more 90s.
Yeah, more 90s, more like masculine.
Yeah.
Like I often went to, when I worked at Business Insider, I would often show up. 2015 was like a big year for me, doing a collared shirt button to the top with a statement necklace.
Oh my god,
under
yes, I
collar,
totally did that in 2015.
A skinny jean and then a loafer, mm-hmm. and I always looked exactly like the male sports editor. Like we always dressed the same every day. It was like both of us taking a pic in our chambray shirt.
Oh my god, well, I started like, BuzzFeed in 2015, and my little photo, which now I can't
look at
anymore
from the ID.
Yep, the collar with a little statement necklace.
You know, Madison, who was also on the show and is also
famously
with her, the Revlon one step, also a lesbian, would always, I was her boss and she would be like, she'd be like, you're dressing like a lesbian because we would always dress the same and she's a lesbian. I'm like, you don't own chambray shirts.
Sorry, Caroline.
I know you do. I know. I'm just trying to appropriate.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a bit like because there's only so few shirts that will fit my arms and my mm-hmm, boobs mm-hmm, and jeans that will actually just go over my butt, shoes and bags I'm a heavy on.
See, I had never really been into bags. Now I'm like kind of into bags.
I feel
like
so fun.
Okay, this was also
fun
the
bags.
This was also the I think what the biggest change for me was over the past year was mm-hmm. like I just was like getting into categories of stuff that I hadn't previously. Like I was like I didn't really wear makeup or
are you getting into makeup?
Getting it or like cool. even like skincare in general, like I was like, gosh, my bad. Like I was
right.
like a lot of people I think really got into skincare this year.
Yeah.
And now I'm like now makeup and now I'm like, oh, bags. Like just thing and even like accessories. I feel like it's lot of them are trendy now, like scrunchies, headbands.
Well, it kind of makes me think that intentional shopping can also be about really discovering what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And then just buying those things rather than being like, well, everyone's wearing this thing and I would like to have this thing also,
even though
it doesn't work on me or I don't really like it. I think as you get older, you obviously get away from Like in seventh grade, it's so funny that it's like everyone's like, we all have to have the same pair of jeans.
Yes.
When now I'm like so embarrassed if I show up to work looking like the male sports editor. And I'm like, I can't believe we have the same chambray shirt. But it is true. It's in seventh grade and eighth grade and high school, you just want to look like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't even like the thing, even if it doesn't really work for you or mm-hmm. you're not comfortable in it. And I feel like being intentional can just be like, I like this stuff mm-hmm. and this is where I'm going to invest in. And I don't really care, like, if it's in or not.
Yeah, totally.
That being said, if low-rise jeans come back.
No, never again. Never again.
I will protest in the streets. I really will.
I really, never again.
If Madewell is like, oh, we've discontinued our high-rise five-button fly, and we're doing low-rise now, I will never spend money with them again. Madewell, if you're listening, never get my money.
What a horrifying thought.
I was going to say, I didn't have a product today because, like I've talked about before, if I don't have a product, I don't have a product. I don't want to come in and lie and be like, here's the thing that's life-changing if it's not just to fill space. But I was thinking about the savings app that I use, which is Digit, which I really, really like.
You are a big Digit
evangelist.
I
love Digit because it allows me to, it's very passive. Have you ever used it before?
I have used it before, but I think I used it like earlier in its iteration where it was still like kind of like tweaky.
Right.
But
it's like
I think
shuts down.
Yeah, yeah. But
skims your credit card information.
I
who knows?
Have thought about it more recently.
So I'll give you the kind of basic rundown, which is that it's an app that works for me. Bear in mind what I said about how I view counting calories and budgeting. It's a thing that stresses me out. So the more passive, the better. Mm-hmm. I already have a savings account and an IRA, you know. The adult stuff you got to have, or that I say got to have in quotes. But this is sort of like an extra thing that allows me to allot for stuff that is not needs. It's like it's total wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's an app. You connect it to your bank account. It will read how much money is in your checking account. And depending on that amount, and you can set all these levels, it will pull a random amount of money a day and put it into whatever you're saving for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and you can save for multiple things. And maybe one day you get paid and you have like $2,500 in your checking account. It'll be like, oh, I'm going to take $100 today. And then one day you have like $400 mm-hmm. and it's like, I'm taking $175, meaning $1.75. You can set it for like max amounts they can take. Mm-hmm. I have it overdraft protected. So if it gets down, if my checking account gets down to a certain amount, mm-hmm. it won't take it all. It learns your patterns of like when you have to pay your credit card bill. So if you have a bill coming up, it's not going to take.
Mm-hmm.
It really like works in tandem with your bank, but it doesn't like harass you about it.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you check your Digit and you're like, oh my God, like I've saved $500 this month. And because it takes random amounts, like $3.02. And then on payday, it'll like sneak away like $200 or whatever if you let it. Then you really can look at it after a month and be like, I didn't even feel myself saving this.
Yeah.
So the things that I'm saving for on Digit right now are, I'm kind of a Disney adult.
That's great.
I'm excited to live near Disneyland. I hate this about myself. My parents never took me there when I was a kid.
Oh.
Because they were like, we're not spending our vacation time standing with your brats, like, in line. You know what I mean? They're like, absolutely not. We're going to the beach. And you're lucky that we're taking you with us.
Nice.
But they never took me to Disney. So now that I'm an adult who can go on my own time, I love it. I think it's magic.
I totally love Disney. My family is a big Disney family.
Cool.
But in Orlando.
Family. Oh, okay. The world.
So.
I would be, too, if I wasn't living in LA.
Yeah, like at like all my cousins, you know, like when they were teenagers.
You're the family I wanted
there.
To live with.
Yes, and you know, like some of them, like one of them is a chef, one of them's an event planner,
fun.
And they're all like so, like they are down for the cause of Disney.
Great.
They love it.
I just love the
and
rides.
And I get to go for free whenever I go.
Yes.
So
aunt
so that makes Disney a lot more appealing.
Correct. My aunt works at ABC, which is a Disney affiliate. And sometimes she gets a free pass she'll throw my way. But I'm saving up for my own annual pass. My only annual pass.
I've never been to Disneyland.
It's fun. It's small. I've never been to Disney World. So I went to Disneyland once when I went to visit LA. That's why I'm moving to LA. And the secret's out. I want to be closer to Disney. I went with a friend who knows a lot about Disney. She does like Disney reporting. And it's really fun.
It is really fun.
I'm afraid of rides at like carnivals and Six Flags.
Do they have Epcot there?
No, that's just World.
Okay.
But it's more like classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot smaller, but it's a better place if you just have like a day.
Yeah.
Like, you can totally do it in a day. World is like,
yeah,
you gotta
like
go
very
for the
overwhelming.
Week. It's
yeah.
too crazy. But saving for a Disney pass is definitely one of those things that you know, no matter how much money I have in my savings, I would never feel good about being like, and now I'm going to take money out and buy it. But if I have I've had Digit running since we decided to move to Los Angeles, and I had the deadline be, you know, about 2 weeks after we moved there, and like, I'm almost there. And it's been passive, like, for 6 months.
That's awesome.
I mean, like, it's cool. It's like a thing that really works. When I started using it, they did not charge a fee to use it. And now it's $5 a month, which is $60 a year. It's not nothing. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're somebody who needs a little bit of help saving and sort of allocating what you want to spend money on, it's really great. And it's worth the $60. You're not going to notice $5 a month. Mm-hmm. And it takes it from the stuff you've already saved in Digit. So there it is. It doesn't even exist. But it's a great thing, I think, for teaching. Like, I wish I had that right after college, because I didn't know how to use money or or delayed gratification. And I would have loved to just have a place to be like, I saw this bag, you know, it's not a $60 bag, it's not a $30 bag, it's a $400 bag. I can't stop thinking about it. Okay, well then save for it. And here's how you do it. You're going to save $400. Mm-hmm. And when you get the $400, you can decide if you still want it, rather than being like, I have a credit card.
Yeah.
Which is exactly how I operated for the first few years out of college.
Can I ask, do you do Digit into? So I know you said you had a savings, but do you like set aside a certain amount of every paycheck for savings and then this is on top of it? Or
so
how does your...
The way that I budget is that I look, because I freelance, I can kind of look. Every month is different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some months I make a lot of money, and there are some makes there's no money coming in. So I look at the beginning of the month, or you know, in the middle of the month, I look to the next month, and I kind of can project how much I'm going to take in, and then I decide a number that I'm going to save from that, and then the rest of it I don't think about. So it's like if I am making, let's say, $5,000 in a month, I'm going to try to save $2,700, and then I can spend the other money. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll go for rent and food and all that other stuff. Nice. That's really lofty to be like, I'm spending a savings system. I'm just putting out a hypothetical. But, yeah, because – and that way I'll know, like, well, if I can save the money that I wanted to save, then I don't have to think so much about spending.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing it back to food, my crazy disordered brain, is, like, the way that I think I would – try to create that metaphor in the way that I used to sort of think about how I ate and dieted, which I don't do anymore, is like, well, if you're going to the gym or if you're like a runner and you love running and you're like, I'm going to run, and then it doesn't really matter what I'm eating because I know that I'm exercising. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that sort of the way that I would think about it. I'm not a runner and I don't like exercising. So it's all hypothetical. But what about you?
With freelancing, I feel like that's like you have to be.
It's hard.
Yeah,
but I also worked full-time jobs that I really wasn't happy at and kind of knew this is not going to be my career forever. Mm-hmm. This is not going to be and essentially, like, for as long as I could, saved as much as I could to afford myself the opportunity of being able to kiss that job goodbye. What do you do with savings?
So I try and save. My paychecks will automatically put 30% into my savings.
Wow. Automatically?
Yeah. So it's like direct deposit deposits 70% in my checking and then 30% in my savings.
That's amazing. I mean, also, it's like, what a privilege that we're able to save that much money from a paycheck, too.
It's a huge privilege, but also over the past year, like, I've been dipping into saving.
Yeah, of course,
like,
because that's what savings are for.
Yeah, but it's definitely, like, I think because, you know, I have, like, this idea of, like, 30% is going in, but then, like, if I don't have a very regular idea of when I'm actually, like, touching it, then I'm like, it doesn't feel as...
Well, we all
know.
And
also, literally, isn't as cumulative as I wish it would have been.
Well, we all know there's nothing worse than having to spend your savings on, like, emergency. Like every time I have to, like, actually use my emergency fund, I'm so mad that it's like, I thought I could plan my life so that I'd never have an emergency and I could just go buy a bag. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back. Okay, we're back. This has been such a fascinating conversation because we really haven't talked about products at all. We're just talking about how we spend money and how we save money and how we think about shopping. But I know that you did bring a product.
I did bring a product.
After all that, she brought something.
I did.
And she ran it by me earlier, and I said, this is really fun.
It is
so
super fun.
Shannon, what'd you bring?
What I brought is the Houseware Solutions collapsible silicone microwave hot air popcorn popper bowl with lid and handles.
One of those things that rolls right off the tongue. We get a lot of those products here. So tell me a little bit about it. You love popcorn?
I love popcorn.
Okay.
So I definitely will preface this recommendation by saying, like, if you're just like a
semi-pop. I'm not a big popcorn person, so I guess
I don't need it. If you're not really like a popcorn connoisseur, you really don't need it.
Okay. How many bags you eat in a week?
I eat a lot of popcorn.
All right.
I don't know. It's just like ever since I was little, it's
been
like
a snack.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like a comfort food for me.
All right, so what is this?
So the great thing about this, and people who are more intense about popcorn, I think will get like. So
if you're out there, this one's for you.
They're totally.
I know you exist. I'm sorry. There's a lot of erasure happening. I'm still mad about you guys trying to own button-up shirts.
Yeah, popcorn and button-up shirts.
Is popcorn a lesbian thing? I was gonna say. Oh yeah, you like popcorn? Okay, got it.
Okay, so normally if I make popcorn, like, I got the kernels and, like, put oil on the stove, which is...
Very Little House on the Prairie.
Yes, yeah. Which is nice, but sometimes I'm lazy. And if I'm lazy, then that might be, like, you know, like... And I might be just, like, getting microwave popcorn,
sure.
Which I try not to do because it's, like...
You can make better popcorn
filled with
on the
chemicals.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. You can just make better popcorn.
And, like, yeah, and when I make it, it's better. So what's cool about this little thing is that you are able to air pop kernels. You just put them in a little pouch at the bottom and you just pop it right in, and you can
into the microwave. Okay.
So it's microwave popcorn that combines the best of both worlds.
Oh, nice. So you buy kernels. Where do you buy kernels?
At the grocery store.
All right. I don't cook. We've established that upon many episodes. All right, you buy them at the grocery store.
Yes.
Never been in one of those.
And you can either just, like, straight up air pop it, or I shaved a little bit of coconut oil in there.
Oh.
I'm, like, really trying to get like, gourmet with my I also really don't cook. This is, like...
Yeah, this is the thing you do.
And so you just, like, pop it in, and then what's just nicer about that, too, is that it's just so... Not that, again, I'm not like a calorie counter or anything.
No.
But the thing with, like, popcorn is actually like a very healthy snack.
Yeah.
Not that there's any.
Healthy.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives you that chip. There's like a crunch
yes,
to it.
There
that,
is
like,
a chippiness.
That's how I feel about pickles. I'll eat jars of pickles by
Oh, I love,
in
oh
one
my God,
setting.
I also love pickles.
But you can also eat a lot of it and you don't.
It's like a fun activity.
It's not like a diet food, but it's like...
Yeah, it's not a diet food, but it also like doesn't have to be like garbage,
right.
Which is nice.
Right.
So like...
And it's versatile and you can like add your own flavor to it. I know.
I really wish that I liked nutritional yeast because I feel like that's a way of actually making it into real food.
You know,
but
Dan
I think
does
it's disgusting.
It. Dan does it and every time he's like... Dan's a big popcorn guy and he puts nutritional yeast on it.
I wish I could know what that was,
so I feel like we have to tell people. It just is... It's like... You say it. I don't want it.
I mean, I don't even really know either. It kind of has like a cheesy thing.
They should really rebrand it because calling something nutritional yeast is disgusting.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's
gross.
A lot of other grosser things I put in my body, but guess what? They're not called nutritional yeast. I'm looking it up right
nutritional
now.
Nutritional yeast is good for you, right?
Well, I mean, it's nutritional. Okay, I'm reading. Deactivated yeast, often a strain of words I can't pronounce,
yeast.
Sold commercially as a food product. It's sold in the form of flakes. Right, this doesn't help me. It's like one person asked, can nutritional yeast give you a yeast infection? It's just not a good thing. I mean,
no.
I really feel I don't like it. It's just, but it's got a little cheesy. It's like Parmesan.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yes.
But guess what?
You can actually use Parmesan, which is really good.
Yeah.
And like, I also, like, I specifically for this purpose got like a spray olive oil to like. Just a little spray.
I only use
little
spray
Himalayan
olive oil.
Salt.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Do you know that they sell like flavorings? I'm sure you can get it on Amazon, but like probably any sort of fancy food store has like you can get like I don't know cheese flavoring or like salt and vinegar for like flavoring and
of like a. Like a spray?
No, it looks like
like a
spice
little,
jar.
Oh, the little shake. Yeah.
And then
you
put it on your popcorn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to get so into it now.
Popcorn's my thing in 2020.
Yes, it is my thing. Hot sauce you can do.
Oh, hot sauce is good. Chili flakes.
Yes.
You know what I wonder what would taste? The chili lime flakes at Trader Joe's, but also the everything but the bagel seasoning.
Yes.
I wonder if that would taste good.
I bet I'm really into the idea of chili lime. I might do that. Sounds great.
It's a make your own snack.
It is.
So and you'll use this when you're like, I don't want to use a pan. I don't want to deal.
When I'm just being super
lazy.
No, I
get
because
it.
The other great thing about this thing is that it literally pops in the bowl and then you eat it out of the bowl. So it's like those microwave like pops into a bowl form, but it's literally a bowl. So like you can eat it like
there is
directly
no more dishes.
Out. Yeah, no more dishes. It's dishwater safe.
Oh, nice.
It folds and it also
I don't even like popcorn and I'm like intentional. This is where I have to be like you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need it.
I don't need
but
it.
if you do like popcorn, I think it's great. It also folds into a nice small thing because I think for people
so it collapses?
It collapses.
Oh my god.
So you can put it in a drawer. You can put it in a drawer.
It doesn't need its own thing.
No. And I think for a lot I don't cook a lot, but for people who have like a bunch of random gadgets and stuff that take up room, like here's a gadget that just, you know, slip right in. Super easy.
I'm not, you know, I don't know my way around a kitchen, but I know that there's a lot of people who have opinions about like tools in the kitchen that can only do one thing.
Yes.
But this seems to be is there anything else you can do with the popcorn bowl?
I wonder.
I feel like you could probably find a way.
I'm sure you could probably find a way. Put something in there.
I had something in my head and now I can't think of what I was about to say. But like I was thinking about just popcorn's also the thing that you make when you're like, I don't want to make dinner.
I totally have popcorn dinner.
This is what I was gonna ask you. You know how everyone's like, oh, there's two kinds of people in the world? But I think there are actually two kinds of people in the world.
Okay.
And it's the people who eat out of the takeout container and people who get a plate.
What
do you do?
I was going to say, I don't think I'm either of those people. Like, I
have different
modes.
Oh, because you're lesbian and, like, lesbians do both. I got it. Amazing.
No, I do both at different
you
times.
You do both? I've never gotten a plate.
Really?
No, I've never gotten a plate.
Over the weekend, I had
what is the point? That's more dishes. I'm getting takeout, so I don't have to deal.
You're right. I guess I'll use a
fork, but I will not get a plate.
You know, it's kind of embarrassing. I think when, like, people, like, come over, I'm like, I get everyone.
I would like, do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about alone.
Yeah, alone. I guess, but even, like, with, like, very good friends, I'm like, let's do plate. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if I'm like, hey, come over for dinner, but what I actually mean is, like, I'm ordering Chinese food, which I think I'm going to do tonight.
Nice.
I know I'm already thinking, I'm like, what am I going to order? I do get a plate because I feel like that's more. I didn't invite you here to eat out of the plastic container.
Yes.
But when I'm alone.
But alone, yeah.
Well, you know, your true self is whatever you do when you're by yourself. And I'm trash alone. I don't get a plate at all. I'll get a real fork because you can't eat food with a plastic fork. And I also try to do the thing where if I do take out, it's like, don't give me forks and napkins.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at home. I'm just going to eat. But
I ordered McDonald's over the weekend. And
ordered McDonald's?
No, I ordered McDonald's.
I never, you know, in my 10 years of living in New York, I do a lot of seamless, like a lot of delivery food, but I've never, ever ordered fast food. I didn't even know you could do that.
Wow. Yeah. No, you can. Anything is possible.
Okay. Now I'm going to move back from LA. I got to come back and like order McDonald's.
You can like
What's your McD special?
I ordered a Big Mac, the best. A 6-piece nug, a small fry.
That's the classic trio.
it's an amazing trio.
Ugh.
But I did get a plate, which kind of felt satisfying. I kept the Big Mac in its little container and then put it on the plate.
You basically made that yourself.
That's
gourmet food.
It was. It felt gourmet.
If there are any New York listeners out there and you love a Big Mac but you don't necessarily, you want to feel a little fancier than going to McDonald's, I have a list of places that serve hamburgers that taste like Big Macs. Shannon, I'll share.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
I'm a hamburger. I eat about like maybe. I think I've actually stopped in the last year, but definitely there was a point where I was eating like 2 burgers a week.
I love
very happily, maybe more. It's
burgers.
My favorite food. It's the thing that I go to when I feel like I need comfort in the form of eating.
I also love it. Do you feel guilty about eating beef? I mean, not that you should.
No, I understand. Like, I understand what you're saying. It's a big conversation topic.
I don't eat
a lot of red meat. Mm-hmm. And I don't eat a lot of beef in general, or fish or chicken. I actually eat a pretty
Same.
Vegetarian.
I also don't eat a lot of meat. And I feel like for me, and I also, I love burgers.
I just love a burger.
But if I'm going to eat red meat, it's going to be a burger.
That's same.
I don't need a steak. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need any of that.
I'll order a steak like randomly if it's there and someone else is paying.
Yes.
But I will.
I'm like, mom. That's a steak.
I love a burger. But also like I went to, I actually drove through Burger King a few weeks ago and I had the Impossible Whopper.
How was it?
Tastes like a burger. It's fine.
Yeah.
I just like the feeling of the bun and the sauce and the lettuce and the tomato. It's not about the meat for me. So I hate saying that I'm one of those people that actually would really benefits from the like fake sausage, because I think it's like just eat vegetables. Like, do you really need to like be in this casing? But in the case of the burger, I'm very happy to order the vegetarian burger if it still comes with French fries and it still comes with, you know, the accoutrement. Yeah. But
I also feel like, especially like if I'm about to go on my period, I'm just like like iron.
Definitely that. And also, so I like never, I've said this before. I always start things by saying I've said this before because I wonder how many people are listening intently and being like, she always says this. But I never get my period. I get it like four times a year. I have PCOS. It comes when it wants to. I'll sometimes get all the PMS signs and then no period will come, which is, I can't even imagine why. It's like great because I don't like bleeding, but also I have to get the cramps. Like, just don't come at all. Don't halfway come.
Yeah, that's very annoying.
But there was one time a few years ago and I hadn't got my period in like 5 months. So there's really truly, you know how every month women are sometimes like, every month I'm feeling bitchy.
Mm-hmm.
And like every month I'm surprised. My period never comes. So it's truly a surprise when I'm feeling bitchy.
Oh my God.
And feeling like I want chocolate. And then I can kind of, but there was one night in a snowstorm, all I wanted was M&Ms. And I walked in a snowstorm like at 10 o'clock at night, like it was not weird at all, to the CVS. And I had said to Dan, I'm like, I'm going to go get M&Ms. And what I had planned on doing was buying, you know, the one that's like when you're checking out,
mm-hmm.
like a, maybe a little king size.
Yeah.
No, I got the like thing that says party on it,
yes.
But I got every flavor. And then I came home and I ate all them and I hid them from Dan because I didn't want to share. I had enough M&Ms to feed 97 people on a cruise ship with no other food and everyone would have been happy. And I wouldn't share them.
No, I mean,
and
I
my period came the next day.
Some things that you don't share.
No, absolutely. And for me, it's every flavor of M&Ms. But my period came the next day, and I truly did not see that coming. And then when I got my period, I was like, you know, I could look back at history of the last 24 hours, and sort of the signs were there.
Yep.
But yes, meat is also a big one if that's happening. But
is the Maloko burger on your burger list? Caroline.
Oh my God, what is it?
I know you're literally about to leave.
I'll eat it before I go.
Maloko and Bed-Stuy.
I'm looking. Oh, because I never go to Bed-Stuy.
Great burger.
Okay,
it's like Bed-Stuy Clinton Hill border.
Do you ever go to South Brooklyn?
Border. Yeah, I do.
If you go to South Brooklyn, on 14th Street and 4th Avenue, there is a bodega called Ray's Deli. Do you know it?
Oh, my God. A bodega burger? No, but I'm very excited.
This bodega has the best tacos, the greasiest, like, quesadillas. The burger tastes like a Big Mac, but, like, better.
Oh, my God.
The French fries are somehow crispy on delivery.
Wow.
And it's a bodega. But in the back, you can have, like, some of the best tacos in Brooklyn. And that's my big secret. So if you're in New York and if you want my big off the beaten path, like a weird food recommendation, 14th and 4th Ray's Deli.
Yes.
It is.
Wow, I can't wait for your
cred.
You just have a burger list.
My next podcast is just
just burgers.
Burgers with Caroline.
Well, I love it.
I'll send you my list.
Thank you.
And
I'm
if
so
anyone
excited.
Else wants it, I'll send you my list too. Shannon, I feel like I could talk to you for another 3 hours, but we got to cut it.
Oh, man.
I really,
we
were just getting started. Tell me how much the popcorn thing costs. That's important to me.
How much is the popcorn thing? It is $12.
Amazing.
Can't beat it.
Amazing. And if you, and also like a box of poppable popcorn. I mean like a you know, a box of what am I saying? I'm like,
what, like the kernels?
Yeah,
is
like, no, bags of popcorn that you're buying.
Oh, like microwave popcorn.
It costs like $4.
Yeah.
But when you're, how much is a bag of kernels?
The kernels are kind of expensive, but they last you a long time.
And it's
like,
not scary?
Like, you can get, like, a big jar of kernels for maybe, like, $8.
And it's not scary to pop your own popcorn?
No, it's not scary. You put it in a...
I don't know. You put it in, like, the thing. And
yeah, you put it in the pot. You put the lid on, and then it pops in
the... Oh, the lid.
Yeah, the lid. The lid will
like,
help
I lost
you.
All the lids to my pot, so we're good. I will link to everything that we talked about. I mean, I'm going to have to re-listen this episode and write down everything we talked about. We'll link to the... intentional shopping newsletter. Will link to Shannon's incredible story of the time I went on a lesbian cruise and blew up my entire life. We'll link to what Shannon says is a lesbian outfit, but a thing that I wear constantly. We'll just go through the whole thing. Digit, the popcorn maker. I feel like we covered the spread. This might be one of our longer episodes, but I feel personally it was worth it.
Oh,
it was
I'm
great.
So glad.
Thank you so much for coming. And tell everybody before we go where they can follow you online. Not on Instagram because it's private. Where would you like them to follow you?
I mean, maybe you can get into my Instagram. Yeah, you can
try. Give it a shot.
On all things, I am at S Keating S.
S. Keating S.
Skeetings, if you will.
Can't be easier.
Twitter, Instagram.
Can't be easier. You've been a wonderful guest.
Well, thanks, Caroline. A wonderful host.
Thank you. I look forward to reading your newsletter.
This week, coming up.
Hell yeah. Great. And thank you all for listening. Remember to follow G Thanks Just Bought It Pod on Instagram. That's G Thanks Just Bought It Pod. G Thanks Just Bought It was taken, I think. So we added the pod on the end. We will see you on Instagram. Remember to shop the store or the spreadsheet. And if you have any recommendations you want to share with me, send me an email at caroline@gthanksjustboughtit.com. We will see you next week for another episode. Thanks for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.